You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's audio corruption free for a week.
For 1 week.
For one solid week.
Reset the clock.
See if we can do it again.
Yeah. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over. But
most of it Animal Crossing related.
Most of it Animal Crossing and most of it about 2 weeks old. But before we get into that, let's talk about some things we have been checking out. And I know I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about Sonic the Hedgehog. So you guys go first. And I will fill in the gap with Sonic news.
Let's see, what do we got? We've got a couple things. Let's talk about that Dragon Quest movie.
Oh, yeah.
We watched Dragon Quest Your Story, which is on Netflix now.
My story?
Your story.
Your story.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Dragon Quest Your Story.
Wow.
It is a CG animated movie based on the plot of Dragon Quest V.
Five. Okay, which one was that?
That's the one that's the entire hero's life story from
from
childhood to adulthood.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
The amount that you'll like this movie is based on the amount that you enjoy Dragon Quest and its myriad of creatures and lore and that kind of stuff.
Okay, does it look like the Akira Toriyama art style a little bit?
No.
Oh, well. No. Okay.
It looks like...
It doesn't look bad, though.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's very pretty.
It doesn't hurt... I don't want to say it doesn't hurt the movie that it's not Toriyama, because it would be better if it was.
Sure.
But it's still, you know, like you said, it's still pretty, and it's good interpretations of those characters.
Okay, good.
Like, it's close, but...
It's like somewhere between the Toriyama original art and Pixar.
Oh, all right, sure, okay.
Actually, it kind of looks a lot like, what's the dragon one? How to Train Your Dragon. It
oh,
kinda
nice.
It kind of has that vibe.
Okay, I like that. I like that vibe, so that's cool. Okay.
They gloss over a lot of things real quick.
Well, they have to. They only have like an hour and a half.
You have to tell the story of a 30-hour video game.
Sure, yeah.
They gloss over the entire childhood.
Mm.
By showing you clips from the game.
Oh, really?
Like Super Nintendo footage of him making the choices and the things happening.
Oh, really?
When he's a kid.
Oh, wow.
The dub is good.
Okay.
I thought
good.
It was well acted.
I was going to ask you dubs versus subs. That age old question that is coming back for some reason.
Yeah, we watched the dub and
okay.
It was good.
Oh, good. Good.
Stephen Blum voices the slime.
Of course he does. Stephen Blum's in everything.
Yeah. There's a couple branching choices in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, just one, really. And the way they handle it is good and interesting. And, man, I really don't want to spoil
it. Yeah, no, it's...
Because the last act, not even the last act, the last 10 minutes of the movie is...
It takes a turn.
It does.
Oh, really?
And you won't guess what it is.
Oh, okay.
It's weird.
Okay, great.
It gets... Buck Wild Nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I would definitely, if you've ever played a Dragon Quest game, you'll probably like this movie.
Okay, okay.
Should give it a watch.
Yeah, I might check it out.
If you don't know what Dragon Quest is, you'll probably be confused.
Mm.
Or think it's generic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Dragon Quest kind of is.
It kind of is.
But that's the charm of it.
Yeah.
And also... It's just kind of that old, too.
It was kind of one of the first, if not the first.
Yeah.
So it gets to be kind of generic.
Oh, and they say it's translation matches up with the game. So, like, the names of things are the same. They shout out the silly spell names whenever they use their spells.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Bianca will be running around. Frizz, when she's shooting fireballs.
Oh, that's great. Well, cool. Sounds like fun.
Do you want to talk about Scary Clowns?
Oh, I forgot about that awful movie. We watched a documentary on Hulu called Wrinkles the Clown.
I hate it already, but go on.
It's worse than you would think, but for different, completely different reasons.
Okay.
There was apparently some kind of viral sensation called Wrinkles the Clown, who's a scary clown man that you can call to scare your kids to get them to behave. I guess, is the story of it.
Mm.
I don't think that was an actual thing you could do, was it?
No.
Yeah, it was like a performance art thing.
Okay.
But, you know, people would still, it's still an actual phone number you could call and leave a message, and parents will honestly use it to scare their kids that way.
Okay.
Which is a questionable parenting tactic at best.
A little bit.
They play a lot of voicemail clips of people scaring their kids with the phone number, and it's kind of uncomfortable, honestly.
Mm.
But like, they inter...
You need to come get my kid. He's acting up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not...
Come here, Mr. Wrinkles, and eat my child. Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, this documentary lacks any sort of, like, central narrative or guiding, like, story.
Oh, so it just kind of meanders about this weird creepy clown?
Yeah.
Mm.
And there's a lot of, like, this old man that's supposedly the clown.
Okay.
Like, they let you believe for...
like, half the movie.
More than half, like, 75% of the movie... that this guy is the guy who's the clown.
But not showing his face because he wanted to be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the last half hour, oh, no, that was fake. We were just, that was just the character. That's the character that plays the character of Wrinkles the Clown. And it's actually this performance artist. And it's like, well, why'd you make me watch all that then if it wasn't real?
Is the movie part of the performance art?
They play it like it's a factual, like, documentary.
See, I don't like this.
And even the last part where they explain, like, oh, that was a fake character. That's part of it.
That sucks.
Is that part of the movie that you just watched? It's like, well, either leave it, fake on purpose, or tell me the story the right way.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks. Yeah, and I don't like this.
Another, like, majority of the movie was just, they just interviewed kids that were, because he put out, like, a couple YouTube videos that made it viral of him scaring, but it was all set up.
Set up,
never went and scared people at all.
They let you know that they were set up videos.
But they interviewed just these kids that are just terrified, and it's just...
Yeah, that's not even, like, funny. It's just mean.
Yeah, about a quarter of the documentary was interesting, and then the rest of it was meandering interviews with...
YouTube kids.
Yeah, kids that have unfettered access to YouTube and shouldn't.
That does not sound enjoyable. I don't know if I would enjoy watching this documentary or anything.
Kids would just call the number and cuss out the clown.
It was awful. Don't watch
it. Sounds like it. I mean, clowns don't really bother me all that much, but, like, this whole performance art angle with the fake and the tricking kids and stuff.
Wasting your time.
Yeah, the whole thing felt like a massive waste of time.
It sounds it.
Because it was around the time, was it 2016?
Yeah, it might have spurred the whole creepy clown epidemic that happened.
Oh, yes,
like,
I remember
five or six
that.
Years ago?
That's the only, like, interesting part of it.
Yeah, I remember that. How there were creepy clowns stopping, just walking around.
Which is apparently also a thing that happened in the 80s.
Really?
So, yeah, it's kind of a reoccurring event where people think murder clowns are on the loose.
Huh.
Even when they're not.
The stars have aligned and the clowns are out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting because, the satanic panic. It's
sure.
Like the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this time
it's clowns. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't watch that one. It's on Hulu. Avoid it like the plague. There's a Call of Cthulhu game that just dropped on Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, yes.
I don't think it's a super new game or anything, but it was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've poked around in it for maybe three hours, you think?
I don't know. I don't know what you do.
It's a neat little detective game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go around, and it has, like, kind of role-playing game rules, like, not like Final Fantasy role-playing, like Dungeons and Dragons role-playing.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, it's based on the Call of Cthulhu role-playing system. So
oh, cool.
You have stats that you place that can affect, like, your strength. If you can, like, brute strength through a situation, it'll let you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get medical knowledge from finding books in the environment that let you pass skill checks for medical stuff.
Oh, interesting.
That kind of stuff. And it's not like a video game. There's not, like, shooting or fighting or whatever. It's just a lot of detective work and puzzle solving and also passing those skill checks based on where you allocate skill points that you get.
Interesting. No, that sounds like a lot of fun.
To solve a Cthulhu mystery.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty neat. The aesthetics are, like, very good. It really hits that Lovecraftian Dagon-esque vibe.
Fishtown.
Yeah, Fishtown.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, graphically, it's not that impressive. People's mouths look a little weird, and it's not, like, it's not super high-resolution, fancy animation.
But that's not the point.
Yeah, but it gets the job done.
Yeah.
And I found the story interesting.
You got one big jump out of you once.
Like a raven flew by and startled me. But other than that, it hasn't been, like, that scary. But it's also just kind of, it's just fun to do the detective stuff, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's kind of got a hidden object bent to it.
Okay.
But, like, within a 3D environment, not like a Where's Waldo.
Ah, gotcha. Well, that sounds really awesome. And that's, is that part of the Game Pass? Or yeah. Is that, yeah? Okay, cool. Well, very cool, yeah.
I would recommend that one. So, awesome. So, no clown movie. Yes, Dragon Quest. Yes, Call of Cthulhu on the Xbox One.
All right, well, hey, I'm going to go ahead and get into my check-em-outs. I really did one big thing, and because you guys haven't seen it yet, I'm not going to go into too many spoilers, although there's really not a whole lot to spoil in this movie. Yeah.
It's a Sonic movie for children.
And that's the grand overarching kind of idea behind my review here. Went and saw Sonic the Hedgehog last weekend for Valentine's Day because...
Well, I spoiled the lead there, sorry.
You didn't, but that's fine. No, that's fine. I think I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. I said I was going to go see Sonic on Valentine's Day, and we did. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I honestly was kind of going into it, assuming it was going to be bad, or at least kind of boring. And as it turns out, it was fairly enjoyable. They pack that thing to the gills with references.
Nice.
And not just new references. Like, the new references are the ones that were, like, the weakest point, the groaners. Like, he flosses at one point. Oh. Actually, no, I take that back. He flosses twice.
Of course.
And there were... what? And I have a theory about that. So the Sonic movie was pushed back pretty far to make up for the bad graphics and everything. That movie was originally supposed to come out around the time the Shazam movie was out, and Shazam also flossed in the Shazam movie.
It would have been much funnier.
It would have worked, but...
Well, not much funnier.
Not much funnier.
At least more relevant.
Relevant, yes. But he does eat a chili dog.
Yeah.
Good.
In a scene.
As he should.
He does activate his speed powers, and while he's like... Before he goes running off, he taps his foot and, like, looks at his wrist like a watch.
Does he say, that's no good?
A variation of it, okay. Yes. He says, gotta go fast, in a variation, kind
what
of a variation
he said
of it.
In the Saturday morning cartoon, he's like, gotta juice. Is that what he used to say?
I think he got a blast or something.
No, that's Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, that's Jimmy Neutron.
I think
you're
he
right.
used
yeah.
to talk about juicing a lot.
Juicing? Yeah, I don't believe he said anything about juicing.
Hog juice.
Sanic is in it. There's a guy in the town. So the whole thing takes place on the real world in Green Hills, Montana, I think, is the place. And there is one guy in town, Crazy Carl, who swears up and down that he keeps seeing the blue demon. I've drawn this picture of the blue demon. I've seen him. And it's Sanic. It's the meme.
That's pretty good.
So it's pretty good. It was fine. I would, honestly, looking back and thinking about it, I would rate the movie about a 6 or 7 out of 10 just because I assumed it was going to be bad. I think... initially I would have rated it higher at like around an 8 or a 9 just because it was fine. It was good. It wasn't as good as Detective Pikachu. I enjoyed that one more, but you know, everyone in the movie does a really good job.
Ben Schwartz seems like he's bringing the right energy.
Ben Schwartz brings exactly the right energy. I was worried that Sonic would be completely unstoppable in this movie, because how do you stop someone who can move at the speed of light and basically
you've seen the X-Men movies with Quicksilver in them, right? Where they have those extended scenes where time stops, basically, and it's just your character walking through while because it's simulating super speed.
And a popular song plays while he rearranges the room.
That happens a couple times in this movie. The way the writers get around Sonic being nigh omnipotent because of his speed powers is by making him kind of stupid.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's kind of dumb. He's a kid in this. And he raised himself. He came to the real world very young, I'll say, featuring a reference that I won't spoil right off the bat in the movie. But it's the reason why he has to go on a road trip with real life NPC James Marsden, who he's fine. He's likable enough, but he is just there and he does not overshadow the main characters at all. So that's good. James Marsden does his job. As an actor, he doesn't have a lot of charisma. Again, he seems likable. And I'm not just talking in this movie. He was the same way as Cyclops in the X-Men movies. In that one romantic comedy with Anna Faris, he was just kind of generic guy. Kind of affable, but
hello,
just a guy.
I am man.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But I think in this film, that is what you need when you have Sonic. He has a committed relationship. His wife is a woman of color, and I applaud them for no one making reference to it. It's just something that is the way it is. There is one thing that I did not care for too much. Keep in mind, this is a children's movie, so a lot of the jokes had to be kind of...
What I didn't care for was Sonic's visible butthole.
Well, okay, two things I didn't care for. No. They set up a thing where, for a while, James Marsden's wife is in San Francisco. She's in San Francisco staying with...
And she has to escape from the city.
There's a reference to Escape the City in there.
Good.
But she is staying with her sister, and her sister hates James Marsden with every fiber of her being. Not a single line of dialogue that comes out of the woman's mouth doesn't include something about how much she absolutely loathes James Marsden, wants a divorce, wants to murder him, hates him with no reasoning behind it. And I understand, okay, it's a kid's movie. They felt that they really didn't need to. They were just setting up a side character. Whatever. But it's just the guttural, just deep in her soul hatred of James Marsden was probably one of the most cartoony things in the movie. Honestly, it was weird.
So inoffensive and affable that it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And it's not like he... was abusive or self-centered or anything like that. There's a whole subplot about how he wants to leave Green Hills and go to San Francisco to become an actual cop. He's a small town cop in this. And he was asking his wife if, hey, is this okay? Are you okay with this? And she goes, I went to veterinary school for so many years. What did you do while I was in school? He goes, well, I got a second job to help make the bills, and then I got a third job to help make the bills when the second job didn't cut it. And she goes, yeah, you sacrificed for me. It's my turn to sacrifice for you, which is kind of a neat.
That's how relationship works.
Exactly. And there was no conflict between the two at all, which makes the sisters hate just absolute,
weird.
Like from the just, fiery hatred of James Marsden so out of place. It almost makes me think there was a deleted scene or something. Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah. How was he? Because I could see that going two different directions.
He was evil Ace Ventura.
That sounds pretty good.
Okay. More accurately, do you remember Batman Forever? Where he played super genius Edward Nygma, a.k.a. the Riddler. It's that.
Wow.
That's all. Yeah.
Riddle me this, Hedgehog.
Practically. He was amazing.
it's weird that he came back from his break from acting and is in this role, which is not like something most actors would do, or even younger Jim Carrey would do, where he would pick something that is outside of his wheelhouse, kind of like a Number 23 or the Majestic.
The Cable Guy.
The Cable Guy, something like that. He came back and just did something that everybody knows him for. He's just Ace Ventura, but a bad guy. They explain why his nickname is Eggman in this. They explain, because he's Dr. Robotnik in this. There are so many references. The rings make sense.
Huh.
There are multiple references within the rings. Like, they did a good job. And they set it up for a sequel in a big bad way. And they're absolutely going to get it.
Oh, yeah, because it's made about $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
It outdid Birds of Prey, which is a shame.
It was going to, because...
Oh, it's a kid's movie.
This is a kid's movie.
Birds of Prey is rated R.
It's rated R. It's like comparing apples to a 57 Chevy. Like, you can't compare those two. It's just a shame that they released them at the same time. Plus, this is typically the time of year where a lot of studios dump movies they're not 100% okay with, or they don't have much faith in.
Endless trash.
There's another name for this, but I can't say it on air. So what happens when you have a movie that is just okay or pretty good?
When it comes out in trash month, it seems a lot better. It
seems way better. Yeah. So I honestly would recommend going and seeing this one. Even if you don't see it at the dollar theater, I would go and spend the money, because the graphics do look good. There is one lingering remnant of Terror Sonic, Nightmare Sonic in this. There's a scene in which he gets a bomb stuck to his glove and is shaking it back and forth, going, "I can't get it off. I can't get this bomb off my glove." It's because Terror Sonic did not wear gloves. He just had white hands.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's a bomb stuck on a glove, you just take the glove off, and that's it.
Luckily, they set up that he's dumb.
Yes, they set up that he's very dumb. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I would recommend going to see it. I think it's worth your time. It's worth seeing on the big screen. And not even ironically. Just
go see that hedgehog.
Just go see that hedgehog.
How much time we got left? Because I thought of another. We watched that new reality show, Lego Masters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been wanting to see that. How is that?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
It's a reality show where they get themed, teams of two get different themed Lego creations they have to make in like 15 hours on a stage, like a cooking show, but they're cooking big Legos. I thought it was pretty fun. Will Arnett's funny on it because he's Will Arnett.
He just mugs at the camera constantly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the teams they got are pretty fun and interesting and diverse individuals. Mm-hmm. There's a father, son, are they Cuban?
No, Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican father, son team that are adorable.
Mm-hmm.
The two cosplay girls.
Oh, sure.
When they're like, "Oh, we do cosplay," we were both like, "That tracks." But they're honestly kind of my favorite team of the bunch.
That tracks.
Yeah, yeah. There's two bearded Portland dudes, which also tracks.
Also tracks.
Two engineer boy, white engineer boys, okay. Which tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So they seem legitimately like people who enjoy Lego. They found actual people.
Oh, that's cool.
Except for a couple. There's a couple of newlyweds where the guy seems like he's really into the Lego, and his wife just seems like she's there. I feel really bad for her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's good for her being supportive, I guess, but it doesn't seem like this is her idea.
They're like super waspy looking.
Yeah.
She's wearing like this fancy dress.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They look wearing like a suit.
Yeah, cartoon waspy characters. there is a woman who looks like a midway caricature of Paula Deen.
Oh, God.
And it's bizarre.
Oh, wow.
It's just like, why are you here? It's weird.
Find a picture of her.
Like, she has huge blonde hair.
Oh, wow.
Like,
you have to see it.
Okay, well, while you're looking that up, we'll go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
Welcome back to the show, baby. You're gonna die. That was Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
Oh, that was great.
You're welcome.
That got me.
I'm sorry you had to confront your own mortality.
I'm sorry I gave you guys no warning for that.
No, that was perfect.
I realized what you were going to say. It's like, oh, no.
Oh, that was perfect. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. What do we want to talk about first?
Let's talk about this Nintendo PlayStation without getting rambly about it like we did last time when we tried to do this show.
That's okay. Hey, that doesn't exist anymore, so let's try it again. So the Nintendo PlayStation, we covered this months, maybe almost a year ago,
back
probably.
Back when they found it in somebody's storage, they found there was a long rumored to exist collaboration between Nintendo and Sony, pre-PlayStation. They were going to add a CD-ROM drive to the Super Nintendo.
That's right. And when that deal fell through, that's when PlayStation decided to make their own console.
Yeah, we'll just make our own console. Mm-hmm. And then that was probably the worst decision Nintendo ever made.
Yeah, well, yeah. But for a long time, everyone just kind of thought this thing was a rumor that it was in development stages, but it never actually existed. But someone found it in like a storage locker or something, right? It was...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Their dad's storage or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like a demo for like a Space World or something like that, which Space World is kind of like E3 a little bit
for Nintendo in Japan.
But it's more like a trade show. It doesn't have like the glitz and glamour. It's more like one big room with a bunch of tech demos.
They don't do it anymore either.
Yeah.
it's going on auction, apparently.
Yeah, that's the news.
And it's hit probably a couple hundred thousand at this point.
At least, yeah.
Last I saw, I think it was at like 400,000. And that Palmer Luckey guy from Oculus, formerly of Oculus.
Oh, that guy, really?
Is not a cool dude.
He
was the one that was highest bidder on it for a while.
That is a shame.
Yeah, I don't know who is now, but it's functioning, but there's no games on it. It's just a historical piece.
Right. You can play Super Nintendo games on it.
Oh.
Yes, I did. Between last week and this week, I did hear that you can. It is a functioning Super Nintendo. The disk drive has a demo disk that was used for Space World, but that's all that it can play.
But still, it's an incredible piece of history that belongs in a museum.
It belongs in a museum. I'm kind of torn on this. Yes, I wish they would have like donated it to a museum or something like that. Along the same lines, I can't place any blame on the family that wants to sell it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, oh my God, can you imagine how much you can do with $400,000 and counting? Just imagine if you had something like that just sitting around. I don't place any blame on them at all. I just hope whoever does end up with this does the right thing and puts it out so that other people can see it.
And doesn't just put it on a shelf in their house and be like, oh, I'm so glad I have this. They don't turn into Black Mask in Birds of Prey with his masks. No, it's in my room. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I hope they do the right thing with it, but it's just amazing that it's going for that much.
And that it even exists.
This is something that really shouldn't even exist, but yet here it is.
Plus, speaking of Super Nintendo games
and
the preservation of such.
Let's go for it.
The Switch Online service is adding some new games to SNES Online and NES Online.
And they're all a bunch of wet farts.
Yeah, pretty much. They're a lot of stinkers. If you like shmups, there's Poppin' Twinbee, which Twinbee. I guess is good.
But, I've heard Twinbee's all right.
But I don't like those, so, you know, not for me.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
The other one is like a tennis game mm-hmm. that was already available on the Japanese version of this.
Yeah.
So it's not even really a new game. I don't even remember the NES games.
I like don't either, but it's
a Ninja Gaiden knockoff and like...
Yeah, Shadow of the Ninja or something like that. The fact that we can't remember the names of these off the top of our head is pretty indicative of how much of a non-issue these games are.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was kind of... I've been a little bummed out by the showing that this... Especially the Super Nintendo yeah. Online...
The initial bunch was really good. Like, they really yeah. knocked it out of the park with the first bunch.
And then nothing.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder how much of it is getting hamstrung by third-party developers. How much is it people going, oh, now, wait a minute. What if we release our own app with these games, like the Mega Man and Mega Man X Collection?
Yeah.
And try to make a little bit of money on our own instead of just getting a licensing fee from Nintendo for this free app.
Which historically, Nintendo probably doesn't pay them a whole lot
Not a ton. Yeah. So
I mean, even Konami has, like, if you want to play Castlevania, you can go buy their Castlevania.
Right. Yeah.
Their Contra collection.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a shame that we're probably not going to get the best games out there. But then again, it could be that these are just placeholders, that they're games that they could have... that they could license and put out there very quickly to go, hey, remember we still have this app, so that in 2 or 3 months when they have the real big games, it's still kind of in the cultural mindset that, oh yeah, this app exists and people are using it.
Yeah. Or when September rolls around and it's time to renew your yearly fee.
And they put Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3 on there.
Yeah, or like Nintendo 64 games show up.
Yeah, that would be, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now it's pretty sad. It's mm-hmm. a sad state of affairs.
It is kind of a sad state, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a little rough on it, too, because there are some super classic great games on there that
oh,
are
yeah.
definitely worth your time.
Sure.
It's just, why not more?
Yeah. So do we want to talk about the Animal Crossing thing? We're talking about Nintendo stuff. We may as well go ahead and do this real quick.
Yeah, there was a big Animal Crossing New Horizons Nintendo Direct where they dropped a whole bunch of news on that game, which okay. Is interesting because we previously knew little to nothing about it.
Sure. So what is Animal Crossing for people who don't know what it is?
It's different. It's like a life sim. That's... Even that is too complicated for what Animal Crossing is. It's kind of like a weird, like, city designing.
There's part house, city design. There's part friendship interior, making.
Interior decorating.
Yeah.
It's very chill and relaxing.
That more than anything. Yes, it is a chill game.
Yeah.
It is not an action-packed game at all. Never, ever, ever.
Bug collecting, fishing.
Yeah. It is a perfect... Well, when I played New Leaf, which was the previous version of this on the 3DS, I would use it as a de-stressor, and it almost has like a built-in timer on it of sorts because it is set in real time, so you can't jump to the next day. Like, the in-game clock is the same as the real-world clock, so you hit a point after a couple hours of playing the game where you've pretty much done everything you can do, and you basically have to wait, which is tantamount to just turning the game off and going and doing something else. But it is very incredibly relaxing, more than anything.
It's almost zen.
Yes. The repetition of movements along with kind of the chill music and the very inoffensive art design. Everything's kind of rounded and cutesy. It is... I like it. I like it a lot.
It's tantamount to like a zen garden tending to a bonsai.
Yes. Actually, yeah. Very much so. And this new one, New Horizons, is the newest game that's going to be coming out on the Switch. And this Nintendo Direct had answered just about every single question I had about this game, of which there were a few.
The main gist of this time around is that you're on a deserted island and you're making the whole island like your own.
And you're turning the island into a bustling city. It looks like it does everything New Leaf did, but better, and there's more customization. Like, you can move around where people place their houses, where in previous games you basically had to trick the game into forcing it to place them where you wanted it.
Yeah, or it was just completely random.
Or just totally random, and it would throw your entire town landscaping off, which is a little frustrating sometimes if you're OCD. They added crafting to this game, so you don't have to go and spend all your hard-earned in-game currency. You can just hit a tree until you get enough, you know, wood and rocks and stuff to make
a
thing.
Bench or yeah. A chair or whatever.
And that's kind of cool.
It adds a little more depth to it, which is interesting. Initially, I was a little worried about it because crafting has been kind of done to death recently.
Yes, but this doesn't look too bad.
No.
And it doesn't look like there's going to be, unlike Pocket Camp, which is the iOS version of it, it doesn't look like there's going to be any premium things where you have to buy extra things with real dollars.
Pocket Camp is the nightmare version of Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Like, it's the bizarro, like, evil version.
Yeah. But no, this game looks like a lot of fun. I'm really into it. They're getting a lot. It's leaning on cooperation a lot more than the 3DS version, which is cool.
8 players can play at once, which seems like a lot.
It's a few.
Like, I'm assuming the map is going to be bigger, because thinking about the old Animal Crossing areas having 8 people in it,
I don't know how you'd fit 8 players on the old map, but this new one, yeah, it could be humongous. It has amiibo connectivity with all of the cards and all of the amiibo, which is personally a very good thing.
We assume it was like a relief when they said amiibo support.
I will not lie, I unclenched a little bit when I heard that it still works with amiibo cards, as well as, because there's like about 500 of those things.
I was surprised to hear Nintendo remember that they existed.
I honestly have a theory that once all of the DLC characters for Smash are done, Nintendo's going to drop amiibos. They're going to stop making them.
Yeah, which
makes sense.
Yeah, I can see it. Which is kind of a shame, because they're neat.
They're neat.
They're neat toys.
They're a little, just slightly more expensive than they need to be. If they were $10, I would have zero issues with them. Right now, they're, what, $15.99?
Yeah.
And that's a bump up from the $11.99 where they used to be. But...
And I still get the characters that I, like, really like.
I'm missing 4. I'm 4 away from being caught up currently.
What ones are you missing?
Incineroar, Dark Samus, Simon, and Ivysaur.
I have Simon.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah.
I need a Richter.
I just got a Richter the other day.
Yeah, I need my Castlevania man.
that Richter sculpt is actually pretty neat. But
the Dark Samus one is actually really cool.
It's really cool, and it looks like it is the common in the boxes. The Richters are the rares in the shipment boxes, from what I can tell. Because a lot of places I went had like 8 Dark Samuses or Sami. And 1 Richter. That's why I ended up picking up the Richter. But yeah, I have too many amiibo to not have them all at this point. It's an issue. Anyway, Animal Crossing. enough about my problems.
The amount of customization that you can do in this version of the game is amazing, honestly.
Yes.
Like, they really knocked it out of the park this time, it seems.
Well, they took a lot of the features from Happy Home Designer, which was kind of a side game to New Leaf, and implemented those into this, which is kind of what I expected them to do.
Anyone play Happy Home Designer?
I did.
Okay.
I did, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never tried it.
Yeah, I never picked it up.
If you can find a used copy for $10, I would say get it absolutely. Spending more than that, and it is not worth it, because it is a bunch of features that should have just been added to New Leaf instead of having its own separate game. But if it means that this game, the new one now, has everything together.
It was an important step on the way there for Nintendo.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, overall, I was really happy with this Direct. I'm looking forward to the game. It comes out March 20th.
Same day as Doom Eternal.
Same day as Doom Eternal.
I think I've mentioned every time.
Yeah.
Because it tickles me for some reason.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty great. The Doom Twitter account has been just heaping praise onto the Animal Crossing account.
They're well aware that they come out the same day.
And it's not like a rivalry or anything. It's they're being very cute about it. I kind of love it.
Two very different target audiences.
Yes.
But I think there is definitely
overlap.
There's a part of that Venn diagram that's there. And, I'm in it.
Yeah, there is a definite overlap, and it is probably bigger than a lot of people expect, because what are you going to do when you're done murdering a bunch of, to calm down after murdering a million billion hell demons?
Or what are you going to do after the 2 hours that you can play Animal Crossing in a day is up?
Exactly. Exactly.
You go murder hell demons. God, I'm so excited for that Doom, though, also.
Yeah.
It looks very good.
Yeah.
And the previous one was very good. So. Yeah.
It looks good, and I wish I could play first-person shooters.
You're not a shoot boy.
I'm not a shoot boy. Anyway, let's move on to a few more things. This is another game. This is kind of a game-heavy show, but that's kind of the way the news
fell this week.
But so Tiger Electronics. Do you guys remember Tiger Electronics?
When your Game Boy died,
yes,
this is what you had to play with.
Uh-huh.
Was the Tiger Electronics LCD games.
They're very cheap. There was only one game per machine, per handheld, and
they didn't have like actual graphics. It was just like LCD things lighting up,
yeah,
in fixed positions.
Mm-hmm. And they were very popular in the late 80s, early 90s, and then disappeared. Well, guess what? They're back. Nostalgia
in pog form now.
Yeah, in pog form. Yeah. But no, nostalgia has brought them back with a bunch of titles. I'm excited. Oh, there's four?
I think there's four.
Okay. Well, what are the four?
Sonic the Hedgehog 3 one, which
that makes sense.
Yeah. And the rest of them are like cartoon licenses. And there's that X-Men one.
Great.
Which has some really, really tasty X-Men animated series art on it.
I like it.
There's a Transformers one, which, you know.
Oh, that's, sure, that's Transformers.
And then there's a Little Mermaid one.
Yes! I owned that when I was a child. I played it to death. In fact, I played it so much that the whole thing fell apart. I think I still have, at my parents' house, I think I still have the broken frame. fun fact about very young Sam, very young, and I mean like 4 or 5 year old Sam, would take very hot baths and would play the Little Mermaid Tiger Electronics handheld in the bath. And I played it so much in there that the front panel with all of the art peeled off, like it loosened the glue from it. But I beat that game, doggone it. I rammed Eric's ship into Ursula enough until she died. I won. I beat that game. First game I ever beat as a child was Tiger Electronics Little Mermaid. So that is so awesome. That is so excellent.
Didn't you say you had it too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. I don't have any fun stories, but
it seems like something you would have owned. You were very Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah. I broke my VHS. So that's one of the movies, you know, how kids will watch a movie every single day.
Oh, sure.
That was my movie.
Oh, same here. Yeah. I think Little Mermaid was the first Disney film I watched. That and I think they released The Jungle Book on the old VHS with the old big thick clamshell. Yeah. The big goofy one. I think those were the first two that I owned, and I watched The Little Mermaid to death.
It's a good one.
It's a classic. It's really, really good.
My first Disney movie that was also my first movie, I believe, was The Fox and the Hound, which is
That's all right. wasn't Kurt Russell the voice of the fox?
I believe so.
Which is weird. That's weird and wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my first movie that I remember watching was King Ralph. Seriously, I don't remember anything about the movie, but like my first, you know how you can think back and go, okay, what is the first actual memory that you can picture in your brain? Like,
and yours is the John Goodman vehicle King Ralph.
I get flashes of seeing King Ralph in a movie theater that no longer exists in Bucyrus. There was a movie theater that unfortunately burnt to the ground this was years and years and years ago. And I think there's like a little mini art park there now, but I remember seeing King Ralph as a child, or More accurately, I remember leaving the theater at the end of King Ralph. I don't think my parents enjoyed it very much, but that is the first movie I remember watching and also the first memory I have. We're learning a lot about Sam today on this episode.
Did you say for the after credits where Samuel L. Jackson has King Ralph join the Avengers Initiative?
I didn't say for that, unfortunately. No, missed out on that one.
They were setting up the MCU way earlier than people realize.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, hey, talking of, you know, going from things that I remember as a child to things you remember as a child, tell me about Neopets.
It's getting an animated series, apparently.
For some reason.
Okay. Yeah. I know nothing about Neopets. What is a Neopet?
Neopets was like a late 90s, early 2000s online virtual pet website.
Okay.
I guess where you would adopt one of the titular Neopets and then play games like poorly coded HTML-based blackjack to get points to buy food for your Neopets to... You couldn't really do a whole lot with them now that I think about it. Like,
yeah.
It's not like Pokemon where you could, like, battle them or whatever. Like, maybe you could, but it wasn't...
It wasn't done well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was a lot of collecting items and then selling them on your own little HTML store page. It apparently taught a lot of kids how to code in HTML. Yeah, so they could have their little spinning construction worker saying, under construction.
Come back soon.
Come back soon so you can buy, like, a rainbow berry to feed your Jub-Jub.
Okay. So anyway, there's a cartoon that's coming. Is it a movie or a TV series?
I think it's a TV. It's probably going to be on some streaming service,
probably.
I would guess.
Yeah.
But the current owners of Neopets, Jumpstart Games, and some, I think, Canadian animation studio are gearing up to unleash an animated series based on the hot property of Neopets. Which still, I looked it up, you can still do it. There's a subscriber, you can pay money and be a premium member of Neopets these days.
Why?
I don't know.
The world we live in.
Yeah, I don't know if you can still play HTML based blackjack. But it is still there. Website still works.
Huh. Interesting.
It's not owned by Scientology anymore.
Well, that's what?
Yeah, at one time it was owned by Scientology, or at least a large amount of it was.
Oh.
Yeah. It's worth digging into. If you Google that one, there's a story there.
Yeah, I might have to do a Wikipedia.
Yeah, the whole
dive, deep dive.
The whole story of Neopets is actually very interesting. It was like a husband and wife enterprise.
Okay.
In the early internet that, you know, blew up.
Oh, well, I actually might have to dig into that sometime. That sounds kind of interesting.
It is a really interesting piece of early web trivia. It was like one of the first kid-centric, kid-friendly websites that I can think of.
Huh.
I can't believe I missed it somehow.
Yeah, it seems like it would have really been up your alley when you were a kid.
Huh.
I was just looking for something as close as I could get to Pokemon on the internet, and that's why I did it. Which is there's a very Pokemon look to a lot of the creatures.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right, one was a human butler man, and I don't know why that ever existed.
Well, that's
his name
weird.
Was Bruce.
Oh, that's... Okay.
There was a bunch of cartoon monsters and a character that looked more like a mascot for a search engine than it did a collectible monster.
Oh, wow. Wow, weird. See, this... Everything you're saying, I don't remember Neopets at all, but everything you're saying reminds me of a fad that happened around, I want to say 2006, 2007, called Webkinz, which sounds a lot like this, but there was a stuffed animal component,
a physical component,
because we sold them like crazy at FYE. And you would buy it. It was basically if you took a oversized Beanie Baby and on the tag had a code that you would punch into the website, and then you would have your pet online that you would play games with. And it sounds like
I'm sure a toy company saw Neopets and said,
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Oh, so many of those things ended up getting the tags ripped off and stolen. Because people, yeah, it was.
I mean, that's the only part you really need if you want to do the, if you were interested in the online portion.
People who played with the Webkinz came in two varieties. One was the folks that would tear the tag off and stuff the toy in the back of the store because that's where they ripped the tag off, thinking there were cameras in the store. There were never any cameras in the store. And then you would just have to return the product. And then you would have the ones that are into collecting physical properties like Beanie Babies, and people would go nuts for the new shipment because apparently there were chase variants, and one out of every 100 was a special toucan with a third color on its beak, and people would fight over them.
The Princess Die Bear.
I would be lying if I said I didn't have to break up a fist fight of a couple of moms once.
Oh my god.
At the Marion Mall at the FYE over a Webkin.
Neither of you get it.
That's what I told him. I said, you both leave, no one gets the Webkin.
It's my Webkin now.
And I was the manager on duty, so they had to. Fun times.
Nice.
Fun times at the Marion Mall.
Do we want to talk about Rick Moranis coming back?
Yeah, let's talk about what Rick...
That's a cool thing.
Yeah, let's wrap things up with Rick Moranis coming back.
They're doing a... Is it a movie? Are they doing another Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie, or is it a series?
I am not 100% sure on that.
Movie.
I think it's a movie. But yeah, Rick Moranis is coming out of retirement
to do a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Do you know about why he got out of acting, that whole thing behind it? It was kind of a sad story.
It's because his wife died and he wanted to take care of his kids. Is
exactly.
That what it was? Yeah,
that's exactly it. And so really the last time he had done anything, he put out a country album called The Neurotic Cowboy.
Which is funny.
Yeah. And there he did some voices in the Brother Bear movies. Because it was him and Dave Thomas, the Bob and Doug McKenzie were the two voices of the two moose in Brother
not
Bear.
Not the Wendy's one.
Not the Wendy's guy, no, unfortunately not. But other than that, he really hasn't done any acting in, I want to say, 15 years at least.
I'm glad it's for this and not Ghostbusters, to be completely honest.
Me too.
I'm glad he's avoiding the dumpster fire that entire franchise has kind of become.
I think that means he'll be in it, as a surprise.
I mean, it opens the door to it, I suppose.
It does,
yeah.
I don't know. I think Moranis is at the point in his career that he's proven that he's perfectly happy not acting, so he can be choosy about what he comes back to be in. So if there's something, which means he can... There's a potential for him to only be in good things, and that's great. And, I like the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movies. It's not one I really grew up with a whole lot. It wasn't one that we owned when I was a kid, so we didn't really watch it a ton.
I know I've seen them, but I don't remember.
I've actually seen Honey, I Blew Up the Kids, the sequel, I've seen that one more than the original, honestly.
I think I saw that one in theaters, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. And I remember the television series... And who was it? It was the guy from Police Academy and Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, God. I just looked at Police Academy because it's on Netflix.
Oh, what is his name? I refuse to look it up.
Oh, geez.
Which one?
I'm assuming the main guy.
It's the main guy from...
Oh!
Now we're all doing it.
Yeah.
Oh!
That guy.
I see his face.
Yes.
Steve Guttenberg.
Steve
Guttenberg.
That's it. It was the Goot. That's right. It was Steve Guttenberg was the Rick Moranis part. The show did not last very long, but I remember watching the show as a kid.
We didn't have to look it up.
Good job.
We didn't have to look it up.
We earned this one this week. Whew. Man. Steam was coming out of our ears. You could hear the gears grinding a little bit there. Yeah. But we got it. Editor's note, that was not Steve Guttenberg in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV series. The part of Wayne Szalinski was played by Peter Scolari. So there you go. But no, Rick Moranis coming back. That's super amazing. I'm really, really happy about it.
Just out of nowhere. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
I'm glad that he was able to make this decision himself and wasn't pushed into doing anything he didn't want.
Exactly.
And hopefully will be attached to a good project. I can't see how he could mess up a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie. It's a pretty fun adventure concept.
Wasn't it originally written by the guy who did Reanimator?
I don't know.
Yeah, something about...
Brian Yunza?
No, not Yunza.
Stuart Gordon?
Stuart Gordon. For some reason, I thought it was Stuart Gordon wrote the original and was attached to direct. And
I would have loved the Stuart Gordon version of that movie. Yeah, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I think the story was he was attached, wrote it and was attached to direct and couldn't handle, like physically couldn't handle being under Disney scrutiny. Like he started like getting a nosebleed and started passing out during his one meeting with Disney and just physically could not handle doing it.
It was Stuart Gordon and it was also Brian.
It was Yuzna. Interesting. See, can you imagine?
That would have been a much grosser film.
Yeah, sure. I think he wrote it also as a children's film. I think it was one of those where he wrote it as a way to go, okay, I want to show something to my kids.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Although if they got that guy, is it Howlin' Mad George that does the special effects?
Oh my God, Howlin' Mad George. Yeah. If Stuart Gordon had done Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, what are the odds that...
Oh, Jeffrey Combs.
Was written as...
He would have been really good as the dad.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick Moranis is great, but he's an excellent alternative to Rick Moranis.
Yeah. It almost seems like it was written for him.
Yeah. Herbert West. Yes.
I
love Reanimator. That's one of my favorite
movies. It's a good one. They Live is weird. Have you seen They Live? Not They Live.
Yeah, that's the John Carpenter movie.
Yeah. What was the sequel to, or not really a sequel, but the next one that Stuart Gordon had done?
From Beyond?
From Beyond.
I have not seen From Beyond.
Weird. Like, super, super weird.
I've seen a lot of Stuart Gordon movies, but not that one.
Really stylized, really cool looking, but oh my, ooh, weird. Weird one.
And Dagon is a great movie.
Dagon is kind of
one of the best Lovecraft movies that I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that one is really good too.
Society is a good it's a great movie. It's not Stuart Gordon. That's a Yuzna.
That's Yuzna and Howlin' Mad, Screamin' Mad George.
I love that.
Oh boy.
Movie.
Oh
so
boy.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's so gross and it's so weird and
yeah. Yep.
The beginning is pretty forgettable, but the end sure isn't.
Oh boy, the end. Yeah, no. That is one thing you will not be able to say about Society is that it's forgettable. On that note, let's go ahead and wrap things up.
Those images will stay with you for the rest of your life.
Anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. You can also find us on various forms of social media, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram, by looking up Nerd Overload Now.
It makes me miss Josh every
single time. We got to get him back on the show. He's coming. He's coming back soon.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. Leave us a message. Tell us your favorite Stuart Gordon movie at 586-372-8020.
That's right, and we're also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. I've never spelled out Patreon because it's not spelled patron. PATREON, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can head over there and check out ways you can do that. And I also want to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com.
And hey, do us a favor. Give us a 5-star review on the iTunes.
Yeah, that'd be great. That helps people find the show.
We haven't said that in a while. And that helps us out.
It does. It does help us out quite a bit. So again, thank you all for tuning in. And we will be back next week.
Pizza out.